Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Las Vegas, sure good to be with you again on this first Sunday of March 2016. My name's John Racine with the Church at Las Vegas, and you're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. We're glad that you're here and listening. We're glad to be alive. We're glad that we can share the truths of God's Word with you. Now, the other day I had to take my van into a dealership to get it worked on. It was throwing all kinds of signals at me and check engine lights and all those good things. And so I needed to take them in because those were becoming more persistent. Anyway, I left the vehicle there and the shuttle driver was giving me a ride home. And while he was taking me back home, we kind of got in a discussion about what each other did. And he asked me what I did. And I told him I was a minister of the gospel, and I worked with the church at Las Vegas and preached and taught and tried to help people understand the truth. And he shared with me something his mother told him, which I thought was very interesting for a mother to share with her son in a good way, as far as she was concerned. But he said, you know, my mom told me, you know, don't ever judge religion. Don't ever try to say that, you know, any religion's better than another one, because all religions are the same and they're all trying to get people to go the right way, and they're all focused on, you know, what they believe is the best. And you know, he was just going on and telling me about this, and I was thinking to myself, well, you know, that was a good thing for her as a mother to tell her son if that's all that she understood about it. But then I started asking him some questions about, you know, do you really believe that every single religion out there, you believe that everything that talks about spiritual things or God or Jesus or, you know, the afterlife or anything, you think that all of that's true, that all roads lead to something better? And he goes, yes, I do. And I said, that's your truth. And he agreed. And I said, well, I said, but wouldn't you agree that not everything can be truth, because some of those very religions are totally at odds with each other and they contradict each other, and they're not even saying the same things or believing the same things. And that got him to think a little bit, and then I shared with him a passage over in John chapter 18 that I want to share with you. The Jewish Sanhedrin high priests, they had brought Jesus before Pilate to be tried and to be executed. And so they brought him, and Pilate came out to them in verse 29 of John chapter 18. And he says, what charges are you bringing against this man? And they said, if he were not a criminal, they replied, we would not have handed him over to you. And Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him by your own law. But we have no right to execute anyone, they objected. This took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death he was going to die. You see, earlier in his ministry, Jesus had said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. In other words, Jesus knew that he was going to be crucified, and he knew that because of what he did on the cross, that many would turn to him, many would put their trust in him, many would believe that he was indeed the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that not only he died, but he also rose from the dead on that third day. And so verse 33 says, Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" In other words, you know, to Pilate, a king is a rival and someone setting themselves up against Rome. Jesus wasn't interested in doing that. And so that's why Jesus asked him, "Is that your own idea? Is that what you perceive? Or did others tell you that?" And verse 35, "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it that you've done?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into this world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." So Pilate was kind of thinking along one way, and Jesus wanted to make sure his thoughts were going in the right direction. And so he assures him in verse 36, "My kingdom is not of this world." It's not a physical kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. And he says, "If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest." Okay, they didn't do that. Now, Peter kind of tried a little bit, and Jesus told him to put the sword away, because he who lives by the sword dies by the sword. And so, you know, Jesus said, "Listen, my kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, if it were, and it's not of this world, but from another place." And he testified to Pilate that everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And then in verse 38, Pilate retorted, "What is truth?" Okay? What is truth? To Pilate, truth was the Roman government. Truth was, you know, armies and soldiers and power and being able to intimidate by force and the authority of Rome. That was Pilate's truth. And yet, just because of the way he asked that, you know, deep down, I think Pilate even was seeking after what truth really was. And really, if men would be honest with themselves, we all want to know the truth, don't we? I mean, don't you want to know the truth? You don't want to believe a bunch of lies or falsehoods or incorrect things, do you? I mean, not willingly. And so his question of what is truth was a question that I asked this man that drove me home. And I said, you know, the important thing is to know that there is truth, and that Jesus stated there that he came into the world to testify to the truth, and everyone on the side of truth listens to me. And so I told him, I said, you know, if a religion or a religious group or even a religious person claims that Jesus doesn't have anything to do with their religion, then guess what? He's not on the side of truth, is he? And the man kind of went, well, no, I guess not. And I said, well, there you go. So not every religion is true. And so then the point comes down to, like Pilate said, what is truth? How do we know the truth? How do we discern the truth? Jesus said a little bit earlier in John chapter 8, in John chapter 8 and verse 31, to the Jews who believed in him as he spoke to them, he said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So what is the truth that will set you free? Well, it's the teaching that Jesus had taught them. And it was the teaching that he taught his apostles. And it was the teaching that the apostles continued to bring to the world even after Jesus died and rose again and ascended back into heaven. They were guided into all the truth by the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised he would send them. And so, you know, truth is not just whatever we want to make it. Truth isn't just our opinion or the majority or whatever some group says it is. That's not what we should accept as truth. We need to be very discerning. We need to be very careful about what we say this is the truth about. We need to have a standard of what truth is and not just, well, it's whatever you want it to be. It's whatever I want it to be. It's whatever seems right. The Bible also says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in death. I'm interested in life. And I'm not just talking physical death. I'm talking spiritual death. I want to be alive in Christ. I want to live with Christ. I want to rule and reign with Christ, as it were. And I want to spend an everlasting life with him. And I can have that. And you can have that because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. And so this question of what is truth becomes more and more and more important as we consider it. Because as Jesus said, only the truth is going to set you free. Only the truth about who Jesus is and about what he's done and how in Jesus we can have salvation from our sins. We can have our guilt taken away. We can be in a right relationship with God and know that he loves us instead of feeling guilty and feeling like we have to hide in the bushes or that we neglect God and think that he's unconcerned with us. He loves us. He wants us to know that. And it's the truth that will set us free. The truth of God. The truth that comes from Jesus Christ and through his Spirit. All right, let's listen to our first song this morning. This is a song by Casting Crowns called Set Me Free. You know, there's too many people that are walking around in spiritual bondage. They're held captive because of their sin. They're held captive because of their ignorance. Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers. And he has kept people from pursuing the Word of God. Even people that have a form of godliness and profess to know God, but they sure don't live like it. They sure don't act like it. They sure don't talk like it. We need to be people that live like Jesus if we claim to know him. Let's listen to Casting Crowns sing Set Me Free.
Came, stole my mind, wrapped my soul in chains. Now I live among the dead, fighting voices in my head, hoping someone hears me crying in the night and carries me away. Set me free. Crying in the rain, all alone with my demons, I am. Who is this man that comes my way? The dark one shrieks. They scream his name. Is this the one they say will set the captive free? Jesus, rescue me. Set me free.
We're back this morning, and I want to keep talking about this topic of what is truth. Now, in John chapter 5, starting in verse 39, Jesus was rebuking the teachers of the law and those who had come to him, the Jewish leaders. And he says, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life." Okay, so here's the thing. The scriptures, or the Bible, is the word of God. It's the living, active word of God. The things from Genesis to Revelation were given to mankind over a period of about 1,500 plus years. 40 different authors, 3 different languages. I mean, just those facts in and of themselves are enough to be convincing evidence that this goes beyond the scope of anything that men could put together and be so cohesive, so just together in its message and its purpose, in the things that it's trying to get us to understand. You see, God gave us his word on purpose. And his word is like a seed in our hearts. When that seed gets planted, it produces a crop, but only if we will let it grow, if we'll listen to it. You know, James talks about the fact that we need to be quick to hear and slow to speak and slow to become angry. And when it comes to the word of God, that's especially important. Most people don't even give it a chance. Most people just mock at it, scoff at it. Ah, that's just an old archaic piece of human writing. Well, yes, human beings wrote it, but as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God to write the truth. And these were men of character and principle. They were men that ultimately risked their lives and laid down their lives for the cause of Jesus and his kingdom. People don't just do that unless they know for a fact that what they believe in is true. And so Jesus told those Pharisees, you know, you have the scripture and that's good, and you study the scripture, but the scriptures are what testify to Jesus, to the Messiah, to the one that God places as a mediator between him and us. You see, without Jesus, we're condemned in our sins because all of us have sinned. We're all guilty of sin. None of us is good enough to be in God's presence, you know, and contrarily, none of us has done so many bad things that God can't forgive us. You got to remember those two things if you don't know Jesus already. You're not good enough to come to God on your own, in your own merits, according to your own goodness. It'll never be enough. You can't buy the stairway to heaven, okay? Please understand that. But at the same time, it doesn't matter how broken or how tangled up you've been in sin or who's gotten you there, the choices that you've made, God can reach down and lift you out of the pit and put your feet on something solid, a life in Jesus Christ. But you have to learn the truth. You have to accept the truth. You have to trust the truth. And that truth is the fact that God so loved the world that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us, to pay the penalty for our sins. And while he was there, hanging between heaven and earth, if you were, as he was lifted up, God poured out all his wrath against all of sin on his own son. And he did that so that he could be just. In other words, you wouldn't want to just let a murderer or, you know, somebody who abused a child or somebody that, you know, had robbed or cheated somebody blind, you know, maybe a widow from her pension. I mean, that would be terrible. And you'd say, I want justice, and you'd demand justice, even for someone you didn't know. Why? Because it's right. Well, God is right, and justice is right. And people forget that God is a God of justice, and he's not going to let any sin or wrongdoing or wickedness escape punishment. Hey, just as he is a God of love and grace, who, because he didn't want to just condemn us to an eternity of separation from him, sent his own son to demonstrate how much he loves us. But we have to learn that truth and accept that truth and repent of our sinfulness, our wickedness. We need to turn aside from that which is wrong and do what's right. We can't just claim that we're religious. We can't just claim that we go to church. We can't just claim that our family has some kind of background. We need to serve God with a whole heart, ourselves. We need to put our heart and our life into it. We need to be revived on a continual basis to make sure that we don't just know the truth, but we live the truth, that we're living sacrifices for Jesus Christ. And maybe some of you out there, you've never made that commitment. You've never made that step. Maybe you've never even started seeking after God, but maybe you've had questions. You say, well, you know, I'd really like to know if there's a better way of life. There is. I'm telling you, there is. And you can have joy and peace and everlasting life in Jesus Christ too. That's the counsel of the holy, if you would. Okay? The Bible tells us that Jesus loves us, that through him we can have life. But it's not just about adding him to our life and just keep right on going the way we've always done. No, it's time to turn back to God. It's time to recognize him again and honor him again and pray to him, not just when you're in trouble, but as in a relationship, as you would communicate with a dear friend. Hey, let's listen to our next song this morning. This is a song by Petra called Counsel of the Holy. Let's listen.
Sky. It is the wisdom of the wise. God's alive.
Well, we're about out of time this morning. Thanks so much for listening. And please, just make sure that you're standing on the truth. What is truth? The Bible is the truth. God is truth. Jesus is the truth. Why not give yourself the opportunity to listen to what he has to say? Open up the Bible and start reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Learn about Jesus. Learn about what he taught. Give yourselves the opportunity to know this man, this God-man, the one mediator between God and man. If you haven't done that, please give yourself the opportunity to do that. We'd sure like to help you with that. We'd love to answer your questions, encourage you, point you toward the Word of God, the truth that will set you free. We're the Church of Las Vegas. We meet together on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6 o'clock, and also Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard, right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. If you'd like to find out a little bit more about us before you come, check out our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com. That's thechurchatlasvegas.com. You can find out more about us there. Leave us an email if you have questions or concerns, and just find out about us. Please come and join us. And until then, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Good.